brothers and sisters, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Again, we have the prophet Jonah. I want to share something with you in this reading, then we'll move on to the gospel. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, that's after he had turned away from the Lord. He was in the belly of a fish, and the word of the Lord came to him a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready. He went to Nineveh according to the Lord's bidding. Now, Nineveh was an enormously large city. In fact, it took 3 days to walk through it. But Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Then he had this proclaimed throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, quote, "Neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to the Lord. Every man, it's not just one doing it for all, but each of us has to take responsibility for what we've done. And it's different with different people, but together as a people, we cry out to the Lord to forgive us for turning away from him or for making other issues besides him as our priority." That's what it means when it says, "Man and beast shall be covered with sackcloth and call loudly to the Lord. Every man shall turn from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand." Who knows? God may relent. Yes, he will relent. He really will relent. If your repentance is sincere, he will relent and he will forgive. He will withhold his blazing wrath so that we shall not perish. Think of that. God will relent. He'll forgive. He'll withhold his blazing wrath. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. Brothers and sisters, I think all of us together in our various parishes, wherever we are, and some other countries as well as our own, I think we really need to ask ourselves, is my country following the Lord? And I'm going to propose something to you based on yesterday's program. I really would encourage you to pray a rosary daily for this country, and that you would be honest with yourself where you have fallen short. It might not be nearly as bad as someone else, but what have I done? What have I done that works not toward unity? And ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom and strength, and keep praying it. If you could commit yourself to praying it every day, God will hear our prayer. But I think since I've had the stroke, I've obviously had a lot of time to think, a lot of time to pray. And I asked the Lord, and I mentioned this to you, I think, a week or so ago, but I mentioned to the Lord, I just said, "Lord, how do you want me to pray? What do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "We're going to reap the fruit of our evil deeds." And I can't use another word other than that. Our evil deeds, from abortion to war, our evil deeds, we need to repent as a people. You may not have done it personally, but join the people, join one another. Let's pray. You could form groups in your own neighborhood or people from the parish or whatever. You can pray alone, but you could also pray with others. Just getting together and praying the rosary together, it's a personal support too, to keep yourself on the right path. But it's also a help for others to turn away from whatever they've done or whatever they are doing, to follow the Lord. The Lord has blessed this country, blessed it abundantly. And I'm afraid a lot of times we take it for granted. It ties into politics. It can tie into medical issues. It can tie into all kinds of things. But we certainly put God out of first place in this country. unless we repent, brothers and sisters, we're facing a very, very difficult future, I think. And that's personal, that's just me. But I want to say, let's turn to the Lord. Ask His Blessed Mother to help us and pray. 10-15 minutes a day to pray the rosary. Ask the Lord to touch your heart first. Don't go out thinking of other people and other groups and all that. Start with yourself. What do you need to do to change? And as you do it, you'll be inspired what you should share. I really encourage you to do that. So now we take a look. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, who can stand? Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. That's what we need to do. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. If you, Lord, mark iniquities, if you hold all that we've done wrong and hold it against us, who could stand? But with you is forgiveness. Lord, I'm very sorry for that. I didn't see it, or I was being selfish, or I was being stupid, or whatever the case may be. Ask the Lord to forgive you, and He will. Let Israel wait for the Lord, for with the Lord is kindness. With Him is plenteous redemption. He will redeem Israel from all their iniquities. Pray, brothers and sisters, make the rosary a part of your daily life. Keep it in your pocket close to you. And the gospel for today is Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed Him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at His feet, listening to Him speak. And Martha, God bless her, burdened with much serving, came to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." And the Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." We need to think, what time do I give to turning to the Lord daily? What time do I take offering Him what my day holds, or what my concerns are, or what decisions I need to make? How often do I turn to the Lord daily in prayer? And not just a 2-minute, you know, very quick prayer, but some time, 15 minutes, a half hour, start out with that. And just ask the Lord to give you help, and you will be amazed that He knows you. Do you know that? We know it, so to speak, but I don't know if we really realize that. He knows me at every moment. He knows you at every moment. Turn to Him. Turn to Him, brothers and sisters, because He desires to help us so much. I was noticing here in the Magnificat magazine a marvelous little meditation, so to speak, from Father Jacques Philippe. If you don't know Father Jacques Philippe, I think you can tell by the name he's French, but if you have not read anything of Father Jacques Philippe, I really encourage you to do so very much. Check out your library. Check online. Father Jacques, J-A-C-Q-U-E, Philippe, P-H-I-L-I-P-P-E. He's a member of the Community of the Beatitudes in France, and I've visited them. I've visited them several times, and I've been so graciously blessed by them. It also indicates to us, of course, we know that he is a renowned spiritual director. I really do encourage you, if you don't know him, to get to know him a little bit through his writings. He says, "Our present life is always something good, for the Creator has endowed it with a blessing He will never cancel, even though sin has complicated things. God saw that it was good," the book of Genesis tells us, "for God's," quote, end of quote, "seeing does not merely taking notes, but actually conferring reality. This fundamental goodness of life is also expressed by Jesus. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? It is. Sometimes, though, it isn't worry that causes us to focus on the future, but at the hope of something better or happier," Father Jacques writes. "The time when things will go better, circumstances will change, life will be more interesting. At present, we tell ourselves we don't really have a life, but later, someday, we'll live life to the full." We may spend our whole lives waiting to live life to the full. Thus, we risk not fully accepting the reality of our present lives. Yet what guarantee is there that we won't be disappointed when the long-awaited time arrives? Meanwhile, we don't put our hearts sufficiently into today, and so miss the graces we should be receiving. Let us live each day to the full. Each day to the full. To live today well, we should also remember that God only asks for one thing at a time, not two. It doesn't matter whether the job we have in hand is sweeping the floor, giving a speech to 40,000 people. We must put our hearts into it, whatever it is, simply and calmly, and not try to solve more than one problem at a time. We've got to launder many diapers if we have to take care of our children, if we have to in a particular way. Brothers and sisters, God knows that. And everything that's offered for His glory and His goodness is infinitely worthwhile. Believe that. Even when we're doing something is genuinely trifling, it's a mistake to rush through it as though we felt we were wasting our time. You know, child wants this or child wants that, or your spouse wants this or that, a friend wants something. And it's not a big thing, and it kind of feels trivial to you. But no matter how ordinary, it needs to be done and is part of our lives. It's worth doing for its own sake, and it's worth putting our hearts into. God wants us to bring everything to Him, everything, even trivial needs, whatever they are. He would love to have you bring them to Him. He would love to have you turn to Him in every circumstance. You just had an argument with somebody. Oh, Lord, I am so sorry I had that argument. I don't know how to make this better. Help me. Help me. Tell me just to apologize for whatever was my part, even if my part was a small part. Just ask the Lord's forgiveness and go back to the person. Don't let that person alone. Don't do that. Repent. Even if your part was a minor part, if your part was not the cause of the problem, whatever you did that you're not proud of, repent for it. Ask God to help you. I know that changes a whole environment. It changes whatever situation you're in with whoever you're in. It changes when somebody says, "Oh, I'm sorry I said that. That really wasn't my right to say that." And it probably isn't absolutely true either. I'm sorry. Sometimes in the heat of anger, we can say and do things that we wish we hadn't. Just say, "I'm sorry." That's what Father Jacques Philippe is asking us to do. If something, no matter how ordinary, needs to be done and is part of our lives, it is worth doing for its own sake and worth putting our hearts into it. Really do, I repeat that. It's actually a very little sentence, but a very profound sentence. This world would be very, very different if we did that generously with one another. Just say, "I'm so sorry, forgive me." That's all you have to say. Even if the other person doesn't forgive you, even if they ignore you, you did what you should do. And if you do that, reconciliation is possible. May God bless you abundantly. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.